Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So I was commiserating with Adam Davis a few weeks ago. We were talking about some different topics in his office, and the conversation turned to both of our approaches to how we prepare sermons. And we both prefer to do them last minute, have them very fresh. It's not. And so I had an idea months ago, and I wrote it down, and it was going to be the lesson. And then as we were getting into the week, different things were coming to my mind, and a song was in my mind, which is actually the song that Rick is singing for our closing, and that made my brain go in a different direction. And so I was working on the lesson, What Am I? It was about 7 o'clock last night. I was getting pretty close to where I wanted to be, and then I set it aside and went back to this idea and get a completely different lesson. So we're going to talk about the voice of God today, so I apologize if you're wondering what you are. I can't help you with that right now. We'll have to talk about that another week. I appreciate Cole. I had to remember my son's name. sorry, boy. So I appreciate Cole reading that passage about the denial of Christ from Peter. When you think about Peter's situation, here he is, a hard-working fisherman, and out of the blue, he's called to follow the Messiah. Drops everything, and for the next 3 years of his life, is following this man around, living, we should call it paycheck to paycheck, or handout to handout, walking around, learning at the feet of the Messiah, at the feet of Christ, finding out what all this stuff that was in the law, all this Jewish history, what it all really meant. And he is becoming the spokesman for the group. He's the first one to ask questions. He's the first one to open his mouth. He's the one who jumps out of the boat and walks on water. He's this incredible example of somebody with zeal for God and for a hunger to be his servant. He even, as they enter the garden and the mob shows up to arrest Christ, he's the one who pulls out his sword, steps in front of the Savior to defend him, striking off the ear. And you think to yourself, if anybody is going to die for their Savior, it's this guy. And a couple hours later, as he's surrounded by a group of other voices, somebody says, hey, weren't you one of his followers? Dude, ma'am, I don't know who this guy is. A few moments later, no, you are one of his people, right? Right. Dude, no. Jesus, what? Who is he? Lady says, nope, I can tell you are Galilean, you were with him the whole time. She goes, damn it, woman, I don't know him. Yes, he swore. And then he looks and makes eye contact with Jesus, who's in the middle of his trial, by the way. And he recalled and remembered the words of Christ. And it tore him up. And I think about that for just a moment. What if he had recalled the words of Christ an hour earlier? What if he had remembered the message that he had heard and it spoke to him when he was by the fire? When the first person said, weren't you with him? Where's the sword now? Where's the defense? What if he remembered God's word? What would the story have looked like then? We don't know, because that's not what happened. What would you be like if in the moment of need, in your moment of doubt, you could hear God's voice? He could speak to you in that moment. When you need the strengthening, and he looks at you and says, Gary, you are my beloved son. He says, Kelly, you I am well pleased with. He looks at Al and he says, Al, enter in, my good and faithful servant. How strong would that lift you up if the word of God was heard when you needed it most? This lesson, this idea, comes across with this, that's our goal, right? Someday to hear God's word, someday to hear that statement of God saying that to us. But what if I could hear Him in the moments now when I need strength, when I need courage, when I need to be uplifted, when I'm in doubt, when I'm unsure and wavering? What should I do? What's the right choice? What path do I follow? We want direction from God. We want encouragement. We want comfort. We want strength. We want to know, is this the right choice? Is this the thing God wants me to do, or is it not? We're wandering through this life with those types of questions. And the interesting point for me about this lesson is, this lesson was changed last night at 7 o'clock because it's what I needed to hear. And so, for some of you, this lesson might not be necessary, but if you hear it, for those who it's not necessary, they're going to appreciate it because they want it. If you're sitting here going, then you need to hear this lesson. Thank you, Gary. I need to hear God's voice. And He says that that starts with His Word. We've read His Word, we study His Word, we get into the, I get that, but to hear His voice, you have to start with His Word. In Joshua chapter 1, we have the verses there in verse 7, which is, you know, the strengthening of be strong and courageous. And he starts in chapter 1, says in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. He's telling him, follow the yellow brick road. Follow, follow, follow. Okay, we can sing it if we want, but we'll pause that. Follow the yellow brick road. You are going to be tempted to look at the tree. You're going to be tempted to follow the monkeys, flying as they are. You're going to be tempted to step off the path. But my word will tell you where the path is. Its intent, its purpose is to make you know where you're going. When you're in the dark, things get a little cloudy. Things get a little difficult. Light illuminates that. In fact, we're actually told in Psalm 119, he says, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It lets me know where I should step. It lets me know what my next choice should be. Paul says in Romans 10 that it builds our faith. It strengthens us. So reading God's word is like working out. It's going to the gym. It's making yourself stronger. It's building your muscles. It's building your endurance. You do not use that. You do not do that, unless you're a gym rat. You do not do that so you can just go back and pump more iron. You're making yourself strong and building endurance so that when you leave the gym, when you need the strength, when you need the effort, you have it. And that's what reading God's word does for us. It builds our strength and it lifts us up. We're told we exercise our minds to know good and evil. So when the choices have to be made, we're ready to make them. That is actually how God describes his word working for us when we're not in it. See, he actually says that my instructions are going to whisper to you like a teacher. Isaiah chapter 30 actually references back to the instructions to Joshua. In Isaiah, now you have a nation that has gone through quite a bit. The northern people have been taken away into captivity. You've got the southern nation who are struggling to try to figure out where they are in the relationship to God. And God, in a moment of comfort to Judah, is telling them what his plans for them are. And then he says in chapter 30 of verse 20, "And the Lord, though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes will see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Whenever you turn to the right hand or turn to the left, when you're on the path and you're starting to see the monkeys, you're going to hear your teacher's words saying, 'Nope, nope, nope, stay going this way. Don't go that way, this is the right way.'" That is what God's word is doing for you if you know it in those moments, when you're listening to it. He actually tells us it keeps us from turning to the wrong. Back to Psalm 119 and verse 11. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." The farther we are from God's word, the narrower the path feels. Jesus describes this path as narrow, as difficult, right? Only few are going to find it. It's a tightrope. And every step I'm just kind of wobbling, wondering, am I going to make the right step? Am I going to make it? That's what Jesus is describing. But why did he describe it like that? Because that is not how his Father describes it. Jesus went a different way with the path. What I mean by that is for 400 years, the people had not heard from God. In the moment that Jesus is saying these words, that the way is hard and the path is narrow, they have been in silence from God for a very long time. They have not been listening to him. They've been doing their own thing. Their teachers haven't been all that great. Their instructors have not really been giving them good advice. And so now they are filled with this idea that it isn't going to be easy to come back. We make it hard when we don't know God's law. We make it difficult for ourselves when we don't know his word. The broad path to destruction is more likely because all the things I do know are the voices around the fire. The people pulling me aside, the people telling me different things to do. When I'm listening to the voices on the internet, when I'm listening to the people who are telling me this is the way it's supposed to be, but am I actually opening up God's word and finding out if that's the way it is? So we make the path difficult for ourselves. But remember, I said God did not describe his path as narrow. He promised David, 2 Samuel chapter 22, as David is... This is towards the end of David's life, and he's celebrating all that God had done for him in his highs and his lows. And he says in verse 37, "You enlarged the path under me, so my feet did not slip." Well, that doesn't sound like a narrow, difficult way. You enlarged the path. You made my way easier. God's way isn't a tightrope. He calls it a highway. Isaiah 35 and verse 10, 8. A highway. He's talking about the people who will be returning back to him. Those people who have gone into captivity, who have been slaves like we were to sin. And he says, as they're coming back to me, as they're walking my way, it's going to be a highway there, a road. And it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass on it, but it shall be for the others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Even the fool can walk this path. I find that fascinating because sometimes when people hear me say, when we're talking about studying the Bible, we're thinking that we all have to become theologians, that we have to become scholars, that we have to be able to win at Bible trivia. I have my medal. Alan's got one too. All right. We think that when I say study the Bible, those are the things we have to do, right? That's not what he's referring to. He says, even a fool, if you know my way, it's a highway beneath your feet. It's a lit path. You don't have to be brilliant. It's not about brilliance. It's not about eloquence. It's not about winning the game. It's about conviction of learning his word. Our most foolish moment is when we stop reading. And I think that's kind of the point of where I found myself and why I needed to switch. Lessons. You stop training your body, and fitness is going to carry on for a while, but it will flee from you. The things you once be able to do easily, like running, becomes a whole lot harder. The things that you used to be able to pick up and lift, the burdens you used to be able to bear, start to become too heavy for you. Because your fitness has left you. And the same thing happens when we stop reading God's word. His voice dims. There are people in this room that I'm sure we have studied. We are people who have learned God's word and are like, yeah, I know that. I've got it. I've read the Bible. I'm pretty sure how it all works together. But I stop reading, and what happens is God stops talking. In those moments I have to make decisions, I don't have another voice whispering behind me. I stop hearing his guidance. And now I'm making guesses in the dark. The teacher stops whispering instruction. Knowing what is right becomes muddled. The glow of God's light starts to shrink around us, and the darkness starts to close in. If you're back looking at what Peter was going through, in that moment, he had the light of the fire and the voices of the people. But he didn't hear God. In that moment of separation, in the moment of darkness, he was left to make his own choice. And that choice was to deny Christ. When we're walking through this world, that's the choice and the struggle we're running into. Those moments when I'm not listening to God is most likely when I'm going to make the choice that denies him. I am stunned and in awe of how God took Peter's life and showed us something to take home from this lesson. As you might remember, Jesus had a follow-up with Peter at the end of the book of John, right? And that's not the end of the story, but we'll touch on this moment. In John chapter 21, Peter's walking with Christ. They've just finished breakfast. They seem to have some alone time, although others are not too far off. And Jesus said to him, so when they had eaten breakfast, John 21 verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me unconditionally more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I care about you like a brother. And so Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me unconditionally? And he said to him, you know all things. I love you and care about you as a brother. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you care about me like a brother? And Peter, because this third time he said, do you care about me as a brother, was cut to the heart. And he said, you know all things. You know I care about you like a brother. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand, and another will take you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying what death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said one last time, follow me. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep and follow me. And Peter did. Look at what Peter did after that. The work within the church, the work to spread. But do you notice, do you want to hear God's word in those moments? Are you listening to Peter and what he's feeding you? Peter would go on to feed us with a very interesting statement towards the end of his life. Towards the end of his life, in the last book that he writes, as he is clearly thinking that he doesn't have much time left for whatever reason, Peter, in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, starts his book and he says, Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle, once sent forth, may be told to go feed the people of Jesus Christ. To those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, care for your brother. And to care for your brother, unconditional love. See, Peter did not forget that conversation he had with Christ on the road. For if you do these things, and they are yours, you will abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That individual who stops reading, who stops studying, who stops being in God's word, starts to become blind, starts to forget where he came from, starts to forget how bad things were, and things become less clear. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly, not narrow, not a tightrope, not difficult, a highway, a road before you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here it comes. For this reason, I will not be negligent to feed his sheep, to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. You've read them before, you've eaten the meal, but I'm reminding you again. And I'm going to do it again. and I'm going to do it again. In other words, just because you read it once, I'm telling you it's not enough. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you are always fed, that you are always reminded of these things after my decease. Peter's message essentially is, if you want to see the path as a highway so that you don't slip, then you need to be in the Word, no matter how many times you've read it, no matter how many times you've looked at it, just keep going back to it. Keep going back to it over and over. You may know it, but keep being reminded of it. Make reading God's Word a part of your daily life. Be reminded of these things, even though you already know them, because the more familiar you come to His Word, the stronger you build your body and your endurance in those moments when you're away from God's Bible, when you're away from His Word, when you're in the world, that's when your endurance and your strength will show through, because you've built yourself up and you're ready for those moments. There was an interview done with somebody who walks tightropes, like what you see on the picture here. And they asked the person, how in the world do you do this? What do you see when you're up there? And they say, I don't look down and see a rope. I look down and see a sidewalk. Only a fool falls off a sidewalk. When you look down at the path that God has laid before you, are you walking along wondering what's my next step? Or are you so filled with the knowledge of God that the path turning to the right or to the left, the way before you is well lit, it makes sense. So you want to hear God's voice. The fastest and best way to make sure it's Him that's talking to you and not some other influence is to know what He's trying to say, and that's through His Word. So my encouragement today, as we wrap up, as we stand and as we sing, is just don't stop reading.